First, begin by describing the circumstances of your actual arrest.
Well, the circumstances of my actual arrest were a little bit like a episode of the TV show SWAT from the 70s. It was pretty crazy. I was just walking down Market Street in Philadelphia, sort of west from City Hall, and at first I heard and sort of felt someone running up behind me, which turned out to be a police lieutenant who grabbed me by the shoulder and asked me if he could speak to me. I said, sure, you can talk to me. And some more cops started to arrive, and he asked me to step out into the street. And I said, you know, what's happening? Am I being arrested? And he wouldn't answer me. And then he told me to face a car and spread my legs. And I said, am I being charged with anything? A couple more lieutenants and then a few captains arrived, and cars were pulling up in the street, police cars and unmarked police cars. And finally, actually, a deputy commissioner came out. It was quite an honor to be arrested by so many ranking officers, but it was a bit disconcerting because I had been in Philadelphia purely on an observation mission. I had just gotten done vacation with my parents in North Carolina. They live outside of Philadelphia, so I was just kind of in town to lend support to, you know, a bunch of friends that were in for the Republican National Convention and just take a look at how the actions unfolded and be of assistance if I could. But I certainly wasn't there in any kind of central coordinating role, and I hadn't done anything the day before, so I was a little surprised to have so much attention paid to me.
Well, nevertheless, you did receive 8 misdemeanor charges, among them conspiracy and possession of an instrument of crime, which the district attorney could not identify.
Right, it actually turned out to be my cell phone was the instrument of crime that they were referring to.
Okay.
And actually, it was 12 misdemeanors. The first thing that they actually charged me with when they took my possessions and gave me my receipt for my possessions was aggravated assault on a police officer. That was when I started to really get a little bit concerned because I felt like the fix was really on at that moment, and I was wondering, starting to question who was the man behind the curtain pulling the strings here. And then they had taken me to homicide, and I was being interrogated by a bunch of different homicide detectives for a few hours in an interrogation room, and could see the one-way mirror on one wall. I could hear the door opening and see people's profile looking at me. And at one point, about 4 or 5 guys opened the door and looked in and sort of shook their heads in the no gesture and then closed the door. And a little while after that, one of the detectives informed me that I wasn't going to be charged with aggravated assault and that, in fact, I would just have a bunch of junk. He didn't use the word junk. He used another word. He said I would just have a bunch of junk dumped on me. And I said, what do you mean, a bunch of crap? And he said, well, just what I said, it's just a bunch of crap. That's what the captain told me to do, is dump a bunch of crap on you. It turned out to be 12 misdemeanor charges.
And it's all supposedly related to your activity with the Ruckus Society. Could you just quickly describe what it is that Ruckus does and your role within that?
My official title is the director of the Ruckus Society, and Ruckus supports human rights movement, the environmental movement, fair trade movement, anybody fighting the good fight in a nonviolent way. We're there to help them turn up the volume on their campaigns and share skills with them in the use of nonviolent direct action, civil disobedience, creative protest. We conduct training camps. We call them action camps, you know, 80 to 200 people together for 5 or 6 days, and we do a big Skillshare out in a beautiful environment. We build a 4-story scaffolding to teach people urban climbing techniques. We also teach technical tree climbing, and then we teach a whole host of theoretical workshops. All of them start with nonviolence training. That's the key component that we build from. And you know, we teach media skills and online activism, political theater, action planning and strategy, community organizing, a lot of different tactics to be used in multifaceted strategic campaigns for social change. And we're very proud of what we do. We're a very transparent organization. We have, you know, as I told the homicide detectives that were interrogating me, and I'll answer your questions. I'm not going to plead the fifth or refuse to speak to you till I'm in the presence of my lawyer. I have nothing to hide. I'll give you our website. You can take a look at it and see everything that Ruckus is about right there. We will stand up to scrutiny. Unlike our adversaries, we're not afraid of scrutiny.
And just lastly, John, how do you feel that these events, which are widely viewed as preemptive strikes against supposed leaders of the demonstrators, how do you believe the events in Philadelphia will influence the Los Angeles demonstrations next week during the Democratic Convention?
I hope that they won't influence them in any negative way. I hope that people won't bow to the kind of intimidation tactics that they tried to use here in Philadelphia. You know, it's obvious to me and anyone that's really looking closely that they're not threatened by the tactics that are being employed. The real threat to these people is the message that people are bringing into the streets and the number of people that are getting out, mobilizing, and being in the streets, nonviolently throwing themselves into the gears of corporate power, standing in the path of this collusion between the government and giant unaccountable corporations. And I'm hoping that as people see that these people of conscience, these dissenting opinions to the status quo, are being marginalized, are being criminalized, are being repressed by a heavy-handed government, I hope that actually motivates people to take on this cause and to recognize that unless we exercise our democratic muscles and our First Amendment rights, those muscles will atrophy and we will see a significant decrease in the freedoms that we have now. And I hope that people will be out there to call attention and shine the light of public scrutiny on this corporate buyout of our democratic system. And I hope that people will mobilize and we'll see a truly representative body of civil society in the streets of L.A. and not just the likely suspects, not just the people that are already doing this radical work. I hope it's not just the choir out in the streets of L.A.
John Sellers is the director of the Berkeley, California-based Ruckus Society. Thank you very much for joining us, John.
Thanks so much for having me on.